Welcome to The How of Business with David Begin and Henry Lopez, the podcast that offers practical advice and tips on how to run and grow your small business. The How of Business helps aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners achieve their definition of success and overcome challenges that get in their way. This podcast series focuses on the everyday common business issues, challenges, and opportunities that face the small business owner. So here now are your hosts of The How of Business, David and Henry.
Welcome to this episode of The How of Business. This is Henry Lopez with you here and my guest, Rick Thompson. Rick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me here, Henry. Very excited about this.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you. Rick is an entrepreneur. He's also the co-founder of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise publishing business. We're going to chat about that. And he's also CEO and founder of Done For You Solutions. We're going to concentrate mostly on that business today, actually. And he has been part of countless other successful startups. Done For You Solutions, as I mentioned, we're going to chat about. They're an outsourcing company helping entrepreneurs and small business owners around the world reclaim time, move their business forward, and their bottom lines higher. He's also the author of a book by the name of Outsource This Now, How to Triple Your Profits Through Smart Outsourcing. And it's the number one bestseller on Amazon in the technology outsourcing category. In this episode, we're going to chat about Rick's entrepreneurial journey, how he got into becoming his own boss, and we're going to get his tips and advice and thoughts on outsourcing for small businesses, how to do that, how he's done that, how he's helping his clients do that, and just in general, his tips and advice for starting and growing a small business. So once again, Rick Thompson, welcome to the show.
Oh, looking forward to this, Henry. You've got a great show here with The How of Business, and just happy to be part of it.
Cool. Great. Well, glad to have you. So did you start out as an entrepreneur? I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, but I didn't see there. It didn't give me the history of your work career. So just tell me a little bit about that and your background.
I was actually dragged into it kicking and screaming. I was in the tech world a bit after college, luckily kind of fell into that. And with the big tech boom a couple decades ago, I was I was teaching at a high level, Microsoft certified type stuff, and doing pretty well. Of course, that was the whole boom, and everyone was taking tech classes and so forth and so on. And the company I worked with, as the boom ended, turns out they were kind of a castle built on sand, and they stopped paying their teachers. And they started paying them with bounce checks to cover bounce checks. and at some point, my wife was like, this is insane. You know, why are you still working for these guys when you know they're not going to pay you? Something's wrong here. You know, go out and work for yourself. And so luckily, I got out in time and jumped into being an entrepreneur of, doing all the different techie things that I could, from networking to some website building to early stage entrepreneur, wherever and however the money could come in.
Right. So did you have some clients that you were able to tap into that you had done work for to get started, or did you have to start from scratch? How did you land those early clients?
So that's a great question. It was very much mostly from scratch. I did have, where I taught, our offices were in a building. And the guys across the hall had a shipping business, and they needed a tech guy. But of course, they didn't need a full-time tech guy. But they needed, a guy to come in and do some computer work and some networking and stuff. And so that was like my first, kind of client. And I carried them, for a little while, and then just, networking and knocking on doors in a way, and word of mouth, basically.
And was it just you delivering the services?
Oh, absolutely. At that point in time, it was very much me trading dollars for hours and just trying to get enough of those hours sold.
Sure, yeah. But it's great that you had your wife's support at that point in time, and she saw it and you saw it as something you needed to do. It wasn't something where you felt like the job was, you needed to go find another safe job.
Well, that was the point, is it wasn't safe. I mean, there's a myth there that jobs are safe, and they're not. Anything can happen at any point in time. I mean, we see that in the economy now, of businesses laying off a lot of different people here and there. So, the question is a certain level of risk. Do you want to be in control of your own risk, or do you want somebody else to be in control of your risk?
Did you always look at it that way, Rick? Or
of course not.
Yeah.
No.
you went to school, I think, at Florida State, right?
I did. Go Noles.
And yeah, there you go. They won yesterday. And you studied technology then, I'm gathering?
Oh, heck no.
No, interesting.
No, growing up, I was definitely a nerd, a geek, all through high school, took every kind of computer class I could find. And by the time college rolled around, kind of hit a brick wall and was more interested in the people side of life and more specifically the partying aspect of people side of life. And walked away from all the techie things. And actually, I have a bachelor's in international affairs and a master's in education.
Wow, okay.
You know, when I finally finished that degree in education, I knew that I didn't want to do it at all. Teachers are, you know, God bless them, they're crazy. They work so hard for so little money. It wasn't attractive to me. So fast forward a couple of years, I was actually going to go to the military, Henry, be transparent with you. Married, we had a small child on the way. And I didn't have many options, so I was going to go into the military. And while I was waiting for a posting, my wife and I moved up to Northern Virginia because her grandparents had a couple of houses, and this one had room. And so they put us up while I was waiting for the posting. And while I was waiting, I got a job in Northern Virginia, and it was paying me after a week, 2 weeks, they offered me a full-time position. It was going to pay me the same amount the military was going to pay me. So I sent a letter to the military and Naval Intelligence, actually, and said, thanks, but no thanks. And from there, it started getting me into the tech field. And then rapidly, as I found the Microsoft certification programs, got into those programs, and the teacher was driving this fancy little red sports car into work and golfing every weekend. And I was like, holy moly, how do I get your job?
Right.
And so it turns out my master's in education worked out anyway, you know, because I got into teaching those certifications almost immediately after I passed them.
Right, right. Yeah, that's great. So, you were able to apply that. But I guess if I would ask you back in senior in college, you were probably pretty confused about where you wanted to go in life, or was there a clear vision? Or?
Oh, no, there was no vision. It was literally, what can I do? I'm married. I've got a kid on the way. Military is easy. You know, I can go in as an officer. My grandfather was in the Navy during World War II. My wife's father was in the Navy, you know, for his whole career. They seemed to have the best package, and okay, let's, you know, that's the best option that's out there. I had no time, so let's go.
All right, so you're doing the teaching, and then when does the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise publishing business come along?
Wow. So fast forward a couple of years. I'd gotten into some heavier web database integration. So doing websites and database integration and had, you know, again, networking and just lucked into making some connections and some great clients. We built up a kind of a cash reserve. And so one day, as a joke, my wife and I both worked from home, and I worked at one end of the house downstairs, and she worked the other end of the house upstairs. And she had emailed me a little online ad that she saw for an internet service provider that was for sale. This is back in the days of dial-up. Okay, so nice. Now I'm really dating myself, and she said, "Hey, want to buy an ISP?" And I didn't realize that she was joking. So I spent the rest of the afternoon doing the research and thinking, wow, this would be really cool. So one thing led to another. We bought that and had an incredibly chaotic time period. 9/11 came along at that point, and about 80% of our profit anyway came one way or another through the travel industry. And it literally disappeared within a week. I mean, literally overnight, just gone. So we spent the next year building that up, and the real kicker was my wife and I are driving home one day, and we realized that it was our 10th wedding anniversary, and we had both forgotten. You know, work was so insane, so stressful, so we spent our 10th anniversary at a Ruby Tuesdays, and we said, this is going to stop. So we sold that business within 30 days. And started Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise because we wanted to be online. We wanted to dive into more into the marketing, and we absolutely, positively did not want to deal with employees. It was an expensive lesson to have to deal with the paperwork, with the costs, and then that started kind of our online marketing career, if you will.
So when you had the ISP business, you had staffing at that point. You had employees working
for
you.
Had the whole shebang. We had an office. We had, you know, salespeople. We had, you know, people handling the phones. We had, you know, tech people. It was the whole, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. And we were doing dial-up. We were adding in satellite. You know, we built it up, you know, after 9/11, but it was just, oh my gosh, it was so hard, so expensive. All the paperwork if you wanted to fire somebody, it was just, you know, and the workman's comp and all that, just oh boy. We just swore ourselves, never again. It was just, it shouldn't be that hard to have great people working with you, you know?
And so has that carried with you? Do you look at that as a criteria when you think of a new business, is the whole employee component of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think in today's day and age, it is so, so easier to outsource just about everything. I mean, you know, they may have to have somebody working with you locally. I mean, obviously there are some things that are better to be done face to face, but that doesn't mean that you have to hire that person, you know, and go through all that paperwork. So it's whether you're outsourcing locally or outsourcing halfway around the world, outsourcing, I think, is the way to go until you have truly scaled your business to where it makes sense to have employees, because so many entrepreneurs, small business owners, don't realize until way too late the true costs of labor, of hiring people.
Yeah. Of course, in some businesses, if we're in retail, for example, we have no choice, but
right,
in a lot of
right.
other businesses and in the back office components of a business, outsourcing is definitely an option, and we're going to dive into that. Before I go there, so Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Publishing, what are we talking about? What do you publish?
We've done a number of different things over the years. A lot of books, online magazines, a lot of information products. So could be anything from CDs to digital recordings and audios, programs and courses, and you know a lot of what a lot of folks are trying to do online nowadays. We've been doing for years.
All right, and then so then how does Done For You Solutions come along? How did that business come to be?
Well, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise was a personal development focused, and I was a big fan of personal development and wanting people to succeed and helping people succeed. And then I realized that my true passion was with the entrepreneurs, the small business owners who wanted to succeed. And personal development was part of it, but they needed to move their business forward. And I realized that my gift is in systems and creating systems and processes and staffs to build things up. So Done For You Solutions was my way to play with my passions and focus on working with the people that I truly wanted to work with, who were out there trying to make some impact in the world and make some money doing it.
And so specifically, what are the services that you offer for those entrepreneurs?
So we do a lot. I'll kind of back up and give you kind of my framework of it. When we started the company, it was very much a thought process of, okay, if I had to start all over again, what kind of outsourcing solution would I like? What would make it easy for me to do? And we started with that. So the idea was that instead of having another VA type of company, go here and get a virtual assistant for this, we wanted to create an entire virtual team solution. Because what we realized, because we've had, you know, a number of employees, we have been outsourcing at that point for a number of years, was, you know, hey, a VA, a virtual assistant, can do only, like a normal human being, only certain sets of tasks. So you need a wide variety of skill sets. You need the web design, the web development. You need, you know, VAs for research or customer support. You need, you know, graphic design. You need, you know, all these different skill sets. And you don't need them all full time. You need them a little bit here, a little bit there. So hence, Done For You Solutions, with its unique virtual team approach, was born to where basically we all kind of rent, you know, there's one big pool of people that work full-time for Done For You Solutions, and each client kind of rents them for 10, 20, 40 hours a month.
And it's in these services, they're renting them for the technology components of a business, is that right? So in other words, not to do my QuickBooks, but to do website and content development. What types of things are we talking about?
So about 80% of what we get asked to do is the techie stuff, because I think most entrepreneurs just would rather dump that off, quite frankly.
Right.
But we also do a lot of VA type tasks in terms of research, customer support. Hey, here's a Word document. Go make it, you know, a pretty PDF document and add some graphics to it. We'll do things like that. You know, just a wide variety of the day-to-day types of things. A little video or audio editing. We, you know, for great folks like you who are doing podcasts and maybe need a little tweak, you know, or a little, you know, work and getting them loaded up and integrated in the website. So We do a wide range of stuff. What we don't do is we don't do bookkeeping. We don't do any kind of copywriting or content creation or editing. Basically, the client provides the content some way, somehow, and then from that point, you know, we can do whatever. You know, get it on your blog, get it on your website, you know, lay it out in a pretty document, whatever.
So can you share an example of a small business owner that comes to you and where you usually start with them? Do they usually start with a package, or do they is it typical that they start with one particular function? Just give me an idea of how that usually works.
Every client is different, but what we do is we do a basically a kind of a trial run. Hey, you know, go buy 5 hours. Here's a special price, and let's see what we do. Let's make sure the chemistry is right. Let's make sure you're good to go, that outsourcing is the right direction for you. And then assuming that trial run goes well, then we get them on and into our membership, which is a minimum of 5 hours a month. It could go up to 10, 20, 40 hours a month, whatever they're comfortable with. And then we just start with one project, and then we expand from there. So again, it kind of comes down to the client. Some clients, gosh, we help them do, you know, multiple websites. Some clients, we handle their ongoing customer support or their ongoing email management because they're sending out emails or newsletters. Some clients we are, you know, researching quotes for them to use for social media. You know, kind of we do a lot of the ongoing type of tasks because the idea, again, is that we're not a project company. We are your support team. We're going to be there for you on an ongoing basis, and that's where we shine. That's how we're built. So it's not a – typically, it's not a, hey, Rick, here's one project. Have your team go and then go away. It's we can do those things. We charge a much higher rate for them because they're not efficient. Again, our focus is that ongoing support structure so that people don't have to hire, you know, full-time employees or you know, go out and build their own team. We are their instant team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's starting to make sense. And obviously, it's you develop a much closer relationship than if I wanted to do a one-off on Fiverr or, you know, Elance. Yep. Or whatever Elance is now. You're developing a relationship with this client, and so you get better and better at it as you work with them longer, I suspect.
Absolutely. The whole team does. You know, that relationship kind of makes things more efficient as you move forward, for sure.
When you're talking with a first-time client, Rick, what do you find is one of the common objections that they have to starting to outsource? What is it that small business owners hesitate on to start outsourcing these things?
Well, generally, it's not a matter of whether I'm going to outsource or not, because, of course, by the time that we're talking, they've already made that decision that they're open to outsourcing. So it's more a matter of, you know, hey, can your team do X, you know? And of course, that conversation there of, you know, does the client know specifically what they need, and you know, can my team handle it? Because some clients are just sort of like, hey, Henry, I'd love to outsource X, and like that's as far as they've mentally thought it through.
Yeah.
And my company, we're designed to be worker bees. We're not, the team is not consultants. I mean, I could play that role, but the idea being is that we're not coaches, we're not consultants, we're not marketing experts, we're worker bees. So if the client is clear on what they need to get done, we can go to work for them. If the client is asking, what should I do? Like, hey, I'm trying to get more traffic to my website, what should I do? Well, that's a question for a coach or a consultant. You know, that's not a question for your VA or for your web developer. You know, I mean, it's a very, very different level of work output there.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so you talk a lot about to grow a company at high speed, outsourcing is a key component. So explain that to me and what you've observed and why that's the case.
Well, things change fast. You know, what worked in online and marketing, you know, a year or two ago doesn't work now. And so you can't – you have to be able to be flexible in terms of what are the new skill sets out there? What are the new technologies out there? What are the new platforms out there? And you need to be able to adapt them much more quickly than taking the time to build up an in-house staff and an in-house, you know, and of course those costs as well. And the idea is that, you know, let's go back in time, Henry. You know, back when I started my business, you know, when most folks started their businesses, you know, 5-10 years ago, the only option was to build up their team one person at a time, right? So you'd filter through a whole bunch of people. you cross your fingers, you commit to one person, and you hope that they work out. And of course, the numbers say that they don't. You know, 1 out of 3 to 1 out of 5 people actually work out. So now we've just lost all that time trying to get one person, one set of skills involved. But you've got, you know, 3 or 4 different people you need to tap into for the different skill sets. You know, the person who's handling your customer support is not the same person that should be updating your website, who may not be the same person doing your graphics, who may not be the same person doing your research. I mean, so outsourcing allows you to rapidly and quickly tap into the resources that you need, because your competition's not waiting around. You know, they're not waiting 6 months or a year to build up a team. They're moving forward, you know, making sales and getting word of mouth and grabbing clients right now. Yeah. And you need to be too.
So can you share an example, without naming names, of a small business that you're working with and how they're doing it right as far as leveraging outsourcing to run and grow their business?
I can do a couple different things for you, a couple different levels. One would be the individual client who is, let's say, a coach or an author or a speaker, something like that, and they need a website. Either because their current website is old and it's not mobile friendly, and of course, you know, a huge chunk of traffic nowadays is mobile, or maybe it's a brand new business for them and they need something that stands out, and so they've got ideas in their head of, you know, hey, here's a rough idea of what I want, here are the rough pages that I like, I've seen some other competitors out there, I like these ideas, but I don't have a graphic designer, I don't have web developers to get me installed on WordPress or what have you. And by the way, I've got these rough videos from speaking in front of small groups that need audited, you know, or you know, edited and cleaned up. And so they've got these, you know, this project in mind. They've been able to break it down to what they need. They just need the bodies to do it. You know, on a larger scale, we work with companies that are providing services to a large number of their clients, but it more from like an informational standpoint. So we work with companies that are providing, let's say, educational services on podcasting as an example. They'll teach all those people how to podcast, but they aren't helping them do any of it. So all the people that have gone through that program go, this is all fantastic. You know, podcasting is the wave of the future here. But gosh, how do I do that? How do I handle the audios? How do I handle my show website? How do I do this? And so that's where Done For You Solutions comes in as like a third party, where the influencer, the coach, the consultant, that training company can say, hey, we've connected with Rick and Done For You Solutions to handle these things for you guys. And so sometimes that's just a general referral, and sometimes that's a full-on integration where we're actually working with that referral partner to create specific Done For You Solutions. Mm-hmm. Because either way, at the end of the day, Henry, the idea is, what can we do to move that client's business forward more quickly? And most of who we work with, there's a large online component.
Right, that makes sense. That's the area where you focus in. So you've worked with a lot of small businesses now, Rick, in this business and in your previous businesses as well. What do you find are some of the common challenges that small business owners face that keep them from growing as rapidly as they'd like to? You know, obviously, beyond just the generic, they need to outsource some things, but what else have you observed? Or if it's even is outsourcing specifically, where is it that they hesitate? I'm trying to get at what you have observed that keeps those small businesses from being able to grow as fast as they'd like to.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think number one, with a lot of small business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, they are overwhelmed. There's all these different options nowadays. There's all these different tactics and technologies and platforms. And there are too many choices, too many options. So they need to focus. And here's how to really step away from all that noise and all that clutter and focus. And it should be from a strategic standpoint. By that I mean, stop worrying about all the different things that you could be doing and look at your business and say, okay, what direction do I want to go in? Where should I be doing? And then look at the platforms and the technologies to see what will support your vision. In other words, don't let the technology drive your vision. Let your vision drive the technology. Because there are so many options. You can do, gosh, every year there's more and more things that you can do quickly and easily than you could do the year before. So ask yourself, focus on, okay, where is my business going? What do I want? You know, don't be an opportunity person. be a strategic person. And then if you have from that strategic vision a number of different possible paths, ask yourself, what is the number one thing that I could be doing right now to boost the bottom line? Or what's the number one thing I could be doing right now to get me a fast return on investment? And that becomes your number one objective. You're not throwing out the other possibilities. Just you're focusing and cut through that overwhelm. This is what I'm going to do today or this week or this month or this quarter. And then we'll get to those other projects, those other ideas. But just pure overwhelm to answer the question, I think, Henry.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think that's where then outsourcing does come in again. And what I find that holds people back is a couple of things. A, I think there's no one else that's going to be able to do it as well as me or someone that I hire and train. Or I don't want to spend the time explaining it. That'll take me longer. I'll just do it myself.
Yep.
And then there's
yep.
also that whole fear of, well, are these people are just going to take a bunch of money from me? And there's always going to be, they're always going to want more. So I'm afraid of that. I've heard of other business owners and friends getting taken for a lot of money. So all of those are fears, I think, that hold people back from, if they haven't done any kind of outsourcing, holds them back. Is that your experience?
Absolutely. Those are some of the bigger questions that I get, on a case-by-case basis. So let me address a number of those for you. First of all, okay, I don't know if you guys can do the project. Can I trust you? Start small. The answer to that is always start small. All these, you probably heard too, Henry. I can't imagine the number of stories I've heard of, hey, I paid this website company $10,000 or $15,000, and I got taken for a ride. There goes all my money.
I hear it all the time,
Yeah. So, okay, you start small. Find a company that will do just a design for you or just a homepage for you. And if they can't do that portion right, they don't get the rest of the project. Don't throw all $15,000 up front. Throw a few hundred bucks up front, maybe $1,000 up front if it's a larger project. But find a company, and that's why we do the 5-hour trial. Quite frankly, Henry, is exactly that reason. Is that We get it. You've been burned before, because lots of people. I've been burned before. So the idea is to start small and then go from there.
And then the other point is that only I can do it best, or someone I hire and train, right? Or it'll take me just as long to show you how to do it.
Yeah. So a couple different things here. Number one is if it's a one-off project, like it's not going to be done again, or it's not going to be done again for 6 or 9 months or something, and you can fine, then go ahead and do it. You're right. There's no real return on investment to invest in training somebody else to do it if it's a one-time little thing, and I'll never have to use that training again. You're absolutely right. Do it yourself. But if it's something that you find yourself doing every day, every week, every month, then at some point there is a big return on investment. So suck it up and make the investment in training somebody else to do it for you, right? Or finding somebody else to do it. I think that's the other issue there with that. And then there was another question there, Henry. Great question. And then,
let's see. You addressed the cost and being taken. We just talked about that. I have to spend time training someone. Can they do it as well as I do?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I think another thing here is at some point you have to realize that I don't care how powerful you get or how effective you get or how much knowledge you get, you will only have 24 hours in a day. Never, ever, 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 ever will you get more than 24 hours in a day. You won't, I won't, nobody does. So that mindset of, I have to take care of it, let me go do it, right? At some point, that's going to kill you. Because you can't break the 24-hour barrier. You can only do so much. So the people who outsource, the people who are tapping into other people's time, they've now created a business that is not restricted to 24 hours in a day. You as an individual human being, you will always be restricted to 24 hours. But your business, it is not a limit. Your business could have as many hours in a day as it needs to, because people all over the world will give you a portion of their incredibly scarce time. So, my encouragement there for folks is to understand that you are not your business. There is a major difference there, and you've got to realize that you have to be tapping into other people, because if your business is restricted to your 24 hours in a day, and yet your competitors are getting even just 30 hours a day or 40 hours a day, 100 hours a day, because they've got a team, they are always going to move faster and move bigger. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Great way to put it. I agree with you completely, Rick. And I think as you get better and better at it, and again, what we're saying, or I always challenge my clients with, is you start small, just like you said. You start small, and then you start to learn that if you continue to focus every day on where you add value to the business, the unique thing that you can bring to it best, and then outsource so that other experts can complement that effort, and then you begin to grow exponentially.
Yep.
All right. So share with me, what do you think have been some of the keys to your success in business?
Leverage. I think what it comes down to is leverage. You know, there are, and this kind of ties back into other questions too, Henry, of, from, well, you've probably even heard this because lots of people speak about this. There are three ways to create leverage, right, in the business is having other people do things where they can do it faster, they can do it cheaper, or they can do it better. And if any one of those three conditions exist, you should be doing it. You'll be making money, you know, long term. The idea there is, if someone can do it faster than you, you just leveraged speed, right? If someone can do it cheaper than you, you just leveraged money. And if someone can do it better than you, you've leveraged quality. So the idea there is where else can I create leverage in my company? And just to do that on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, that's well said. And I have to believe that you came to that realization as you hit that wall with your ISP provider business, but even as you were doing consulting and you could only bill so many hours in a day, is that when this all came to a head for you and you started to be mindful of this component?
All those lessons. You know, having a team, having a staff, you know, you mentioned that earlier in the call that, you know, hey, some businesses have to have employees. Absolutely. You know, if you're a restaurant, you don't have much of a choice nowadays. You've got to have waiters and waitresses. You've got to have the wait staff. You got to have the cooks. You know, there are those places that are involved in your business. But could you be outsourcing your bookkeeping? I mean, not to us, but in general, you certainly could. Could you be outsourcing your marketing? Could you, the number of different things you can outsource that you don't have to have that staff. So go do it. If you're a service professional, again, can you outsource your bookkeeping? Can you outsource record keeping? Can you outsource somehow the networking or the knocking on doors to get more clients? I mean, you know, you've got to be thinking of ways to find situations to create that leverage in. Because if you're gosh, I mean, nobody can afford to hire full-time people to do that. So, and unfortunately today we don't have to.
Yeah. All right. So we've touched on your business and the services that you offer. I just want to make sure that we've touched on all the different ways people can engage with you. So just summarize that for us again for Done For You Solutions. How do you work with clients and how do you offer those services?
All right. Well, would it make sense to give a specific link that people can take a look
at?
Sure,
yeah, that'd be perfect.
Okay, so you start off at www.doneforyousolutions.com /how, for, of course, this great podcast, The How of Business. So doneforyousolutions.com/how, and there is a hour offer there for 5 hours. 5 hours is not a lot of time, but it's enough to get a good feel for the chemistry, to get enough good, you know, feel for your team. As part of that process, you will register. You will then be directed to a little short form and a survey to find out more about your business. And then you'll be sent to my personal calendar where you'll book a call. You and I will have a 20-minute phone call or so to get a feel for what you need to get done. I will then connect you with an account coordinator who becomes, well, your account coordinator. They're kind of the primary point of contact for you to handle all the different tasks, and they will help build your team from the folks in my company. So whatever you need, whether it's a VA or a web dev team or something like that. And then from then on, we see how your 5 hours go. We say, okay, you know, if this is working out well for you, let's bring you on as a member. And, you know, how many hours a month is a good fit for your business right now? And then we just go from there as an ongoing basis.
Fantastic. All right. That's a fantastic offer. And I think it's a great or a perfect way to get started to see if it is a fit, to see if it does work. And there's no risk involved there. So that we'll have a link to that as well on the show notes page for this episode. And we can find that at thehowofbusiness.com. The other question I wanted to ask you earlier that escaped me is throughout this whole process, throughout your early life, you're going through the process of being a consultant and then buying that first business and now what you do now, what drives you? What's your vision? What's your why as to why you do all of this? What is it? What is it? Where is it that you're going with this? What is it that drives you?
Well, Henry, I'm very passionate about small businesses. You know, small businesses form the backbone of the economy. You know, it's not the government. It's not your big businesses. You know, it's the mom and pops. It's the companies with a handful of employees or team members. You know, we're the ones that truly drive a lot of innovation. We're the ones that drive the economy. We're the ones who make the true impact in the world. And frankly, it's damned hard to make that work, to make that succeed. I mean, you know, the failure rates in business are unbelievable. And why is that? Why, if we are the backbone of the economy, why is it so hard? Why aren't people trying to make things a bit easier for entrepreneurs and a bit easier for small business owners? And that's where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. is that's what I believe, is that if we could make things easier, we'd make things better. And not just for us as small business owners and entrepreneurs, but for society in general.
We didn't talk that much specifically about your book, Outsource This Now. Who's the intended audience for that? Who should read that book?
That's for anyone tapping in, you're looking to tap into outsourcing, or like you mentioned before, you know, those folks that, oh, I've tried outsourcing, I've been burned, you know, I've had problems with this. Outsourcing is a skill set. It is not, you know, a God-given right. You do have to learn. There's a learning curve there. And that book is designed for that. It's not, there's not a lot of fluff. It's not some, you know, 300-page, you know, treaty on it. It is designed to get you thinking right, to cut that learning curve down as small as possible and get you moving forward with outsourcing.
Fantastic. And is there another book that you've read recently, or in the past for that matter, that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, I'm a big fan of anything that has to do with marketing, strategy, business in general. So, gosh, we're not doing video, but if you could, Henry, you'd see behind me my bookcases. I've got I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nonfiction books, books on.
Do you read mostly nonfiction?
No, I mostly read fiction. I'll fess up.
Interesting.
But I read a lot. So, I mean, gosh, all-time favorites I'd have to say are things like Blue Ocean Strategy. That came out a number of years ago. That's fantastic.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a fiction book. I'll cheat.
that's fine. That's, you know, I think reading both fiction and nonfiction is important for all kinds of different reasons. So I tend to try to alternate it, although I do favor business books, but then I'll read biographies. And then if it's a good fiction book, usually I have to be referred or recommended a fiction book because I don't look for them. But a friend will say, oh, you've got to read this, which is like one I have right now on in my library. I can't remember the name of it, but it'll happen like that. So I like to alternate it. And I read multiple books at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things I do.
Yeah. So for like for marketing, I love Sam Horn. She is brilliant. And I had the fortunate opportunities to connect with her a number of times personally as well. And she's just amazing. And then some old masters. Like I got a copy of Robert Collier's letter book came out. You know he's an old time, long passed away master of copywriting. Picked up a copy of that somewhere, I think, on eBay. And just, you know, kind of, I think as entrepreneurs, we have to be, you can't focus. We have to touch base in all these different areas of modern day promotion, you know, what worked in historically to see about trends, business and managing and just all of it. And just, you know, tap into as much as you can.
Yep, agreed. Great. So I appreciate some of those recommendations that are available today. We'll have links to those, including links to your book on the show notes page at thehowofbusiness.com. All right, so we'll start to wrap it up here. Rick, last couple of questions, and that is last parting piece of advice for our listeners who, again, are either contemplating making the move to becoming their own boss or have a small business that they're always looking for advice and tips to help them grow.
So I think at the end of the day is obviously keep tapping into resources like this, you know, the How of Business. You're here with Henry for a good reason. It's a fantastic show. Stay an avid listener. You know, you're going to pick up new things all the time. And then, of course, in your business on an execution level, just remember that you've only got 24 hours in a day. You know, that you, and quite frankly, we don't have time to cover it, Henry, but there are specific studies, there's specific numbers that are out there that back this up. You cannot really go very far. There is a ceiling there of how much you can get done in 24 hours. I don't care how good you are. So you've got to find ways to leverage time from other people to expand your business and make sure that your business is not being held back by your 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, it's a great point. Figuring out how to leverage time, leverage resources, that's been a key to your success and tremendous advice for our listeners. All right, Rick, thanks for sharing your knowledge today and for taking the time to be with us on the show.
More than pleased to be here, Henry. You guys are doing some fantastic things here with the How Business. Look forward to seeing what the future episodes hold for us. And just a real honored to be here.
Thank you, Rick. Well, folks, this is Henry Lopez. Thank you for listening to this episode of The How of Business. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we would welcome and thank you for subscribing to our show. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of The How of Business.
Thank you for listening to The How of Business with David Begin and Henry Lopez. We hope you found practical ideas to help you start, manage, and grow your business. If you enjoyed this podcast, leave a comment on iTunes. And go by LevanteBusinessGroup.com and learn more about Levante's resources to help you with your small business. Until next time, thanks for listening and go live your dreams.